Nehemiah, the fourth chapter. And we're going to look at several verses in this chapter, but I want to read verse number 14 for our text this evening of Nehemiah chapter number 4. And here the Bible says this to us, "And I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." Our Father, we thank you this evening that we can come and assemble ourselves here in this house of worship. We thank you for the privilege of prayer that we can bring our requests unto thee. We thank thee for preserving through the ages the word of the Lord that we might know your revealed will. We thank you this evening for these that have joined us here tonight. And Lord, we ask your richest blessing upon them. We ask that the Holy Spirit might have free reign in this service, that you would lead us and guide us and direct us. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen and amen. Now, I'm sure most of you are aware, Nehemiah and the book of Nehemiah is about a man by the name of Nehemiah that came back after the captivity to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And it kind of chronicles what Nehemiah did during that time period. But tonight I want you to look in chapter 4. We're not going to go through the entire book. Don't get excited about that. But here tonight, I want to ask you this question. What kind of nation, what kind of environment will our children and grandchildren be raised in? What kind of nation and what kind of environment will our children and grandchildren grow up in? As we read about Nehemiah, and as he went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and repair the sagging gates, we find that why in the world would a man by the name of Nehemiah, why did he go back? Why did he undertake such a great endeavor? You know, he was a person of prestige and power in the king's court. He was the king's cupbearer. And because of his great position, we find that the king was able to help him and financially and many other ways to allow him to go back to rebuild these gates. But why did he leave all of this to go to Jerusalem to build? And not only did he have to build, he also had to battle. Well, I believe the answer to that is given to us in verse number 14. You see, Nehemiah was not only battling for God, he was not only battling for himself, but he was battling for the generations to come. Tonight, sometimes people say, why don't we just quit? Why don't we just lay down? As the Bible tells us, seducers and evil men shall wax worse and worse, and it's impossible to do many things. Because tonight we must continue to battle for the generations to come. I'm not just battling for myself. I'm not just battling for what's right. But tonight we need to battle and build for these young children tonight, and our children and our grandchildren and great-grandchildren tonight. And so in this chapter, just look tonight at some things real quickly with me and see tonight why we need to be battling for our future generations. You see, the first thing you have to notice tonight is the enemies of God did not want the wall repaired. The enemies of God did not want the wall repaired. Notice what it said in verses 1 through 3. "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned?" And now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and it said, "Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall break down their stone wall." You see, the enemy did not want the wall rebuilt. Anytime the enemy can get a foothold, anytime the enemy can get an opening tonight to come in, he wants to leave it that way. He doesn't want it closed up. You see, the enemies of God are ready to fight for Satan. Now you think about that tonight. The enemies of God are ready to fight for Satan. We know tonight that Jesus said, if you're not for me, you're against me. Tonight, those that battling against God are tonight battling for their leader. They're battling for their prince. They're battling for their king. They're battling for their God, which is Satan himself tonight. Now, I have no admiration for them, but if you'll notice some things about them sometimes, it might be some things you and I need as we battle for the Lord. You know, they're always willing to battle. There's a willingness for the enemies of God to battle against the people of God. There's no shortage tonight of people who are willing to stand up and fight for that which is wrong. As you look across our nation, as you read in our newspapers and listen to the television newscast and all of the things that are going on in our country tonight, and all the things that are going on in our world, there's no shortage of people who are willing to stand and openly proclaim and willing tonight to fight for Satan. You have to find tonight that they are willing to do that. They're even willing to sacrifice. They'll give their time and their money and their talent tonight that they might go out and do battle against the forces of right. Everywhere you look tonight, you're finding these enemies willing to fight and sacrificing and giving of themselves that they might fight against the Lord. And they're tenacious. Brother, they don't ever let go. And we'll notice that just in a moment. I'm not going to say a lot about that now, but they are a tenacious people tonight. Another thing I think sometimes that we as Christians fail to recognize, they're very informed. They know what's happening. They know what's going on. You see, the enemies of God had observed what the people of God were doing, and so now they're ready to go out and oppose it and fight against it. The enemy tonight is an informed enemy. I was the other evening, I don't remember exactly when it was, but I was watching one of those board meetings of the county board somewhere. I think it was over in Lafayette County or somewhere. And I was sitting there watching it, and Desi said, "Why are you watching such a thing?" And I said, "Well, I know that guy right there." And I was just listening to it, but I got to thinking. You know, we'll watch all of these other television shows, but here on television were the people that were making decisions of how to spend our money, making decisions of what laws to pass, making decisions that's going to affect our lives greatly, and we don't even watch it tonight. We don't even care about it. We don't even know what's going on sometime in our own world, do we? But I'll tell you, the enemies of God know what's going on. Monroe County, Mississippi is a very small county, really, in Mississippi. Not a very small county in Mississippi, but it's a very small part of the nation tonight. But yet we find that the Monroe County School Board received a letter from people tonight against religion. It's not what they call it, but that's what they are, people against God, that we couldn't pray, that the Monroe County must cease praying before football games. And I've done told you how I felt about that, but how in the world did they even know we were doing it in Monroe County? Now, you stop and think about that just a moment. How did these people find out? That's what they're doing. They searched the country to find something they can oppose God on. The enemies of God tonight always are going to oppose the Lord tonight. They don't want the wall repaired. You know, Jesus said something we need to sometimes consider. He said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." You see, Jesus wanted the children. Jesus tonight still wants the children. But I want to tell you somebody else that wants the children tonight. They want your children and your grandchildren and my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren tonight. The ungodly crowd wants them tonight. Believe it or not, the ungodly crowd tonight is after your children. the alcohol crowd. We talked a little bit about that this morning. They're after your children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. They want to suck them in tonight so that they might reap a profit from them. You ever notice the ads that they put on television? They never show a bunch of old people sitting around, do they? They never show a bunch of old, ugly people like me sitting around. Well, they show all these good-looking people standing around. All of these people having a great and high time. Why? So they can suck people in. And who they're trying to suck in? Our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They want to addict them to this thing called alcohol tonight. We can say what we want. I'll tell you this evening, the Bible hits it real close. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, I thought about this this afternoon for a moment. And the Apostle Paul was in the city of Philippi. And he was there preaching the gospel. And a very strange event took place. And I'll get there and find where I'm at. In verse 16 of Acts 16, it says this, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved and turned, and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers." They didn't hear what Paul and Silas were doing until they cut the money off, did they? Now you think about that. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Every casino, every person tonight that promotes alcohol, every person tonight that's... doing these things, you know what they're doing it for? They're not doing it tonight so they can give tax revenue to the state. They're not doing it tonight so they can create jobs. They're doing it tonight so they can stick money in their pocket. You say, how do you know that? You cut the money off, they'll leave. It's what the Bible is teaching us here. And that's who wants our children tonight. The pornography crowd wants them. Well, you think they battle so much and go to court and say, we ought to be able to put... Over in Oklahoma, you know, they wanted to put one of these clubs in. I don't even know how to say it, but you know what I'm talking about. One of them kind of clubs you don't want to go to. Why do they want to do that? They want to suck our children and grandchildren into it. Why do you think they battle in court to try tonight that pornography's okay? The homosexual crowd wants them. Can't have any of their own. The atheistic crowd and the agnostics tonight, they want our children and grandchildren. See, Nehemiah was not just battling tonight for now, but he was battling the enemies of God for the future. That's who wants our children tonight. We better be on guard. That's what he was saying here. You're not just fighting for yourself, folks. You're fighting for the generations to come. See, they'll fight against we need to fight against anything that tries to stop the wall from being built. You see, everywhere you look tonight, the enemies of God are fighting. They're looking tonight to destroy the family. They're looking to destroy the church. They're looking to destroy any individual that gets in their way. They want to fight and battle against the things that are right tonight. The enemies of God will always oppose any repair to the wall. But then there's something else we need to see, and that's the need for cooperation. Look at verse 6. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. First of all, it's a good thing to work. I think not only is Nehemiah telling us here they were willing to do physical labor and willing tonight to get out and do the job, but I think they were willing to work together to repair the wall, to keep their families safe. You see, some can do one thing and some can do something else, and somebody can do something else, but, you know, we can all do something. They had a mind to work. They were willing to work together. You know, sometimes I'm afraid that if I look around the church of the Lord Jesus tonight, that sometimes we want to split into factions and we want to split into this and we want to do a lot of different things. And we really need to be working together. We want to build a wall. We can't build it to everybody doing their own thing, going in different directions. We had vacation Bible school yesterday. Great success. I appreciate all the work and labor that went into it. But why were we able to do that? Because everybody worked together. You know? Everybody could do something. Different people did different things. I mean, Al Isaac took a refrigerator box and made a city out of it. We work together. That's what we have to do. That's what Nehemiah is teaching us here. These people were willing to come together and to work for the Lord tonight and to cooperate and use their resources together. We have to be willing tonight to cooperate and sacrifice and be dedicated and passionate, to be bold and full of courage. I was really disappointed in the Southern Baptist for reprimanding Richard Land and another thing that's going on tonight. It seems that we're backing off of what's really right in our nation tonight. We have to think, and what would we do if a vicious dog attacked your children? If we were to walk outside the church this evening and all at once a dog came running up and went after one of these children, probably every one of us would be trying to get that dog away from those children, wouldn't we? I want to tell you something tonight. Listen to me very careful. There's a vicious lion tonight that's on the prowl, and he wants our children. His name's Satan tonight. We better tonight be willing to cooperate and work together that the wall might be built, that our children might be saved. I like the prayer that they prayed in verses 4 and 5. When they heard about the enemies opposing, they had a time of prayer. It was a very short, brief prayer when you read it here. He said, Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn the reproach upon their own head, and give them up for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. They said, hey, God, turn the table on them. Lord, wipe them out. Lord, judge them. Lord, do something. Somebody says, you know, we shouldn't do that. Well, I think sometime we better be praying for our children and our grandchildren, whatever it takes tonight. We need to be praying tonight that God tonight will intervene and God will move in tonight and God will do something. That should be your prayer. Third thing, notice this, the enemy doesn't quit. Verse 7 and 8. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdots heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. And they conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. You see, they didn't quit, they just got madder. What it means when it said they got wroth. You know, sometimes it's like stirring up a wasp's nest. See, the people didn't quit. They just keep building the wall. They cooperated. They just made the enemy that much madder. They decided they'd have to do something. I don't remember what I was watching, but something on television. And of course, I'm a redneck, so I can talk about rednecks, okay? But they had a bunch of rattlesnakes they'd got somewhere, and they had them in a 5-gallon bucket. And they had a guy with a stick, and he'd go over and stick that stick over in there. and provoke them snakes, and when they'd stick their head up, they'd try to shoot their heads off. And I thought, I wouldn't want to be the guy with a stick. That's kind of what happened here. They just stirred all that mess up. And these enemies got mad. And they began, the Bible said here, as they began to get mad, they did something. The Bible said they conspired to fight. They were going to do then stop whatever God was doing. They conspired to fight. You know, that they'll conspire to fight, folks. They're not going to quit on you. They're going to keep coming at you. That's what I meant when I said they were tenacious. They're just going to hang in there, and they'll hang in there, and they'll hang in there, and they're not going to quit. Until Jesus comes, we're going to be battling. Get that in your mind tonight. It's not an easy battle sometimes, and it's a never-ending battle because they're never going to quit. They'll get mad. They'll just keep battling against you tonight. And they're sneaky. Look at verses 11 and 12. And our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came and said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. We'll come in when you're not watching. You don't know which direction we're coming. We'll come in so fast and so mightily that you won't even know what's happened. You see, they're sneaky. They're going to come out every direction. Sometimes, you know, you might think everything's going all right, and suddenly, out of nowhere, comes the attack. And that causes people to fear. Look at verse 10. And Judah, he had come to Nehemiah, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burden has decayed, and there's much rubbish, so that we're not able to build a wall. They were afraid. It created fear in the hearts of God's people. You see, they'll make their threats tonight. Well, I'm going to tell you, you get a lot of threats when you begin to fight for God. You'll get a lot of threats when you begin to really stand for the Lord. They'll threaten you with everything in the world tonight. They're trying to create a spirit of fear in us tonight that we'll back off. The Richard Land deal. I'm not getting into all the politics of it and everything, but why do you suppose they wanted to reprimand him? Because they're afraid tonight they'll get a bad image. They're afraid tonight that people will leave the congregations and won't put money in the collection plate. I'm just going to be fair with you tonight. We're Southern Baptists. I'm talking about them, I guess. I'm talking about the Methodists. I'll get on them next week. No, I'm just joking. Listen to me. They'll make every kind of threat that they can tonight to put fear in God's people that they'll quit on the job. That's what it said. Their strength was decayed. It's just too much for us to do. We just got to sit down and quit and can't do anything else. You know, sometimes I feel like that's what the Church of the Lord has done tonight. We just decided we'd sit down on the premises instead of stand on the promises. We want to sit down tonight because we're afraid tonight of what might take place if we really stand for God. We need to stand for the Lord tonight. Always going to be threats tonight. If things going to come your way. But we need to be not afraid. Real quickly, the last thing I'll show you and we'll be through. The Lord is with us. That's in verse 14. He said, "You be ye not afraid of them, remember the Lord." Which is great and terrible. Remember the Lord. You see, we can look tonight around and see all this happening, but let me tell you the main thing, put your focus on the Lord. The battle's not ours, it's the Lord's. Remember the Lord. I'm going to tell you, say this, the Lord is on our side. And sometimes people laugh at that. They mock at that. Oh, that bunch of crazy Baptists, that bunch of crazy religious fanatics, says the Lord's on their side. The Lord's not choosing side. The Lord done chose his side tonight, folks. You see, the Lord doesn't do the choosing. We do the choosing. We can choose to be with the Lord, and we choose to go the other way. It's a very simple story we often use and sometimes forget about in the Scripture. It illustrates this. When Goliath was standing and defying the armies of God, the armies of Israel, and mocking and making fun of them, he was saying, "The Lord's on your side. Well, come on down and fight me." And everybody was cowering and trembling. But David went out with his sling. And he said, "I come to you tonight. I'm coming after you in the name of the Lord God of Israel. It's not me coming. It's God coming. The Lord's on our side." We need to realize that. We need to remember the Lord tonight. It's what Nehemiah said. He said, "Remember the Lord." And he said, "Get up and start fighting. Start fighting for what's right. Start fighting for your children. Let them laugh. Let them mock. But you better be ready to fight." As you read through the rest of this chapter, you'll find that Nehemiah said, "All right, here's what we're going to do." He said, "When you come to work tomorrow," he said, "you bring your tools, but bring your weapon too. Bring your sword and strap it by your side and get your trowel." Charles Spurgeon used to have a newspaper, and that's where he got the title from, "The Sword and the Trowel." You had to have your sword by your side, and as you was laying them stones, if the enemy come, you was ready to lay the trowel down and pull out the sword. I tell you, tomorrow when you go to work, you better carry your trowel and your sword, and the sword is the Word of God today. You better never be off guard. One of the things I like about this chapter is the last verse. And it said that, "So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of them put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing." They slept in their clothes. In other words, they never let themselves get caught off guard. When the trumpet was to sound, and you read about the trumpet, if an attack came, a trumpet was to blow, and everybody was to head out and get ready to battle. Can you imagine trying to get ready for battle and find your duds and find your weapon? They were ready to go at any hour of the day. Folks, we need to be ready. Don't get caught off guard. Be ready tonight to battle and fight for the Lord tonight. As we look around tonight at these little ones, we see all of these children, and I think about all the other little children. We tonight be ready to battle, and we better get on the line tonight. Well, I'm going to assure you this one thing. The devil's fighting for them. He's using every approach he can tonight to get through the wall. We better be standing for the Lord tonight. We better be battling for these future generations if we want to see a generation to come. And we need to let the Lord tonight be our strength. Jesus tonight said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Tonight we need to let battle not only for ourselves and not only for the Lord, but let us continue to battle for the generation to come. All right. Stand together with me for prayer. Brother Bruce, you and Barbara come. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for all that you've done. We thank you for this. These that have come tonight to hear your word, we pray your richest blessing upon them. Bless tonight in our service tonight. Bless all on our prayer list. Tonight, lift up tonight Jesus and glorify him. In his name we pray. Amen.